Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today, we're diving into Pfizer's second quarter 2026 results, and there's a lot to unpack, from a CFO transition to some really important pipeline news. Before we get into it, quick disclaimer, this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
And there's plenty to research here, Alex. Let's start with the headline news that isn't even about the numbers. Pfizer's CFO Dave Denton is departing, and Cecile Gagan is stepping in as interim CFO. She's not new to the building, though. She's been deeply involved in the Seagen, Metsera, and Biohaven deals and Pfizer's capital allocation strategy.
Right, so this feels like a continuity move rather than a shakeup. Now, let's get to the numbers. Second quarter revenue came in at $15 billion, up just 1% operationally year over year. But here's the key detail. Strip out COVID products, and the underlying business actually grew 5% operationally.
That's the story of this whole quarter. COVID is a drag. Everything else is humming. Adjusted diluted EPS was 77 cents. Beating expectations. And get this, Pfizer has now beaten EPS expectations for 10 straight quarters and revenue expectations in 9 of the last 10. That's a pretty remarkable execution streak.
They also raised full-year revenue guidance to a range of $60.50 to $62.50 billion, up $500 million at the midpoint, even while cutting their COVID revenue forecast from $5 billion to $4 billion.
Which tells you how strong the non-COVID business is performing to more than offset that. EPS guidance was reaffirmed at $2.80 to $3, though that now absorbs a 10 cents hit from the Innovent Biologics deal that closed in third quarter.
Let's talk about those big acquisitions, because this is really the crux of Pfizer's growth story. The Seagen, Metsera, and Biohaven deals. Revenue from acquired products grew 25% operationally. Padcev, the bladder cancer drug from Seagen, just got FDA approval expanded to muscle-invasive bladder cancer, regardless of cisplatin eligibility, and it grew over 20% this quarter.
And on the Metsera side, that's the obesity bet, nirubenatide, their monthly GLP-1 candidate. They're targeting a $150 billion obesity market and aiming for first approval in 2028. They shared data suggesting it could be competitive with, maybe even better than, some existing weekly therapies like Wegovy, though as always, cross-trial comparisons come with caveats.
Biohaven's Nurtec is also doing well, still leading the oral CGRP migraine class, with new trials underway for chronic and menstrual migraine.
Now, it wasn't all good news. There was a real setback in oncology. The phase 3 trial for sigvotatug vedotin, or SV, missed its primary overall survival endpoint in second-line plus non-small cell lung cancer. That contributed to a $4.3 billion non-cash impairment charge, which is why Pfizer actually posted a GAAP loss per share of 4 cents this quarter.
But management pushed back on writing off SV entirely. They highlighted a subgroup of patients on just one prior therapy that showed a 2.5-month survival benefit, and they're leaning into earlier-line lung cancer combos with pembrolizumab, where phase-I data showed an 82% response rate.
There's also encouraging news on mevrometostat, their prostate cancer drug being developed alongside Standi. Phase 1 data showed it roughly doubled progression-free survival. And the market really zeroed in on this during Q&A. Analysts are watching the MEV-PRO1 readout expected in fourth quarter.
Speaking of Q&A, one exchange I found telling was about the dividend. An analyst asked point blank what would have to happen for Pfizer to consider a cut, and CEO Albert Bourla was pretty emphatic. He said even in their most stretched scenarios, they're confident they can maintain it and expect to start growing it again after they get through the patent loss period around 2028.
That patent cliff, or LOE, loss of exclusivity, is really the elephant in the room here. Management keeps framing everything around returning to high single-digit revenue growth by the end of the decade. That's the North Star for this whole strategy. Acquire now. Invest in the pipeline now, absorb the patent losses, and come out the other side growing again.
On the cost side, they announced additional savings, now targeting about $9.7 billion in total net cost savings through 2029, combining their productivity program and manufacturing optimization efforts. That's real financial discipline funding the R&D investment.
And R&D spending was actually up 12% this quarter, driven by oncology and obesity programs. So they're not cutting into the muscle, they're cutting overhead to fund the science.
On capital allocation, they've got about $6 billion in remaining business development capacity after the Innovent deal, and Borla was clear they're looking at bolt-on deals in oncology, immunology, obesity, and vaccines rather than another mega merger.
So what does this mean for investors going forward? The near-term story is COVID headwinds being more than offset by strong execution in the core business and the acquired product portfolio. The medium-term story is a pipeline with real catalysts. Mevrometostat data in fourth quarter, ongoing obesity trials, immunology readouts in vitiligo and atopic dermatitis. And the long-term story is whether all this investment actually delivers that high single-digit growth once patents on legacy drugs expire around 2028.
It's a trust-the-process quarter in a lot of ways. The numbers beat, guidance went up, but the real payoff is still a couple years out.
Before we wrap up, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Well said. We'll be watching that MEV-PRO1 readout in fourth quarter and the obesity trial data as we head into next year. Plenty of catalysts on the horizon for Pfizer.
Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. Until next time, stay curious and stay informed.
See you next quarter.